Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone else takes credit for your idea. Someone blames you for things you didn't do. Someone hurts you and is never brought to justice. We've all experienced these kinds of personal injuries and injustices, and no doubt some of us have been profoundly scarred through the injustices that we have suffered at the hands of others, particularly in childhood. And in such cases, we often long for justice and retribution when others have treated us unfairly. Now, on a much more innocent level, what parent hasn't heard their son or daughter come to them and protest the injustices of childhood, complaining to their parents saying, "It's just not fair"? And what parent trying to teach their child about the inequities of life hasn't said to their child, "You're right, life isn't fair"? And yet, even though we say that, as adults, we too lament all kinds of social injustices. We quickly become disturbed over stories about criminals who are clearly guilty yet get off on some technicality in the courtroom only to go free and to injure other victims. Or we hear about genocide and ethnic cleansing in third world countries, and how people are literally being exterminated merely because of their race or religion. And then, much like our children, we find ourselves protesting these kinds of injustices, saying, "You know, it isn't fair." If you're socially or morally conservative, no doubt you're grieved over many injustices in our world today. Like me, you may lament the Supreme Court decision in the case of Roe v. Wade, which took away the right to life protections for the unborn. You know, I've always found it ironic that the highest court in the land, where we free people go for final justice, perpetrated such a great injustice by this fateful decision. In their 1973 decision, which legalized and also legitimized abortion, it led to the deaths of millions of innocent unborn babies. Or if you're an advocate of the death penalty, you may have been deeply disturbed when back in 2003, Governor Ryan, shortly before leaving office, commuted the death sentences of 167 prisoners on death row who were collectively responsible for over 250 murders. Or if you reach a little further back in your memory, you may have sensed the injustice of the O.J. Simpson trial when he was acquitted in a Los Angeles courtroom for crimes that he seemed obviously guilty of. And then, if you look at today, you may be feeling the frustration that Osama bin Laden, the mastermind of 9/11, has not yet been brought to justice for those atrocities, or that despite the cost of military personnel, we have not been able to implement a sustainable democracy in Iraq. But you know, in the final analysis, it doesn't matter if you're an adult, a teenager, or a child. It doesn't matter if you view yourself politically as a conservative, a moderate, or liberal. Because all across the age spectrum and all across the range of political allegiance, all of us have at one time or another encountered personal and social injustices. At one time or another, we have all asked ourselves, or we have asked others, is there no justice in this world? Christians have always struggled when we run across injustices where evil people seem to prosper while good people suffer. All of us have seen this. We have seen the guilty go free while the innocent are punished. On occasion, we've seen the poor suffer at the hands of the upper class. At other times, we have witnessed shrewd corporations take advantage of gullible consumers. And conversely, we have seen litigious consumers bring frivolous lawsuits and profit unfairly off of manufacturers. But on a deeper, more profoundly evil level, we've also been shocked by the brutality of serial killers like a Ted Bundy or a David Berkowitz. We've witnessed the tyranny of dictators like Hugo Chavez or Kim Jong-il. And maybe we've wondered why these evil masterminds seem to go unpunished many times in this life and get away with their crimes against humanity. And so in light of all this and all of these injustices, we may be tempted to ask ourselves, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God come down from heaven immediately and deal with this and punish the wicked? Why doesn't God bring forth justice? Some go so far as to assert that because there is little justice in this world, there must not be a God. Or that if there is a God, he must not be good, or he must not care about us. On the basis of extensive injustices found in our world, some propose that God is like an impotent wimp, not powerful enough to stop evil or prevent injustice. That's the answer given by Rabbi Harold Kushner in his famous book entitled, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. However, if we are really honest with ourselves, we must admit that we are part of the injustice of this world, not the solution. From the minor infractions that we commit, like, I don't know, cutting in line in front of others or speeding, to more serious injustices like cheating on income taxes or passing on damaging gossip, we often bend the rules in our favor. We often act as if the rules were meant only for others and not for us. And so we too perpetrate injustice and inequity more than we prevent it. And so if God were going to completely eliminate injustice, God would have to eliminate us. For we ourselves are unjust, and we deserve God's just punishment against sin and sinners. So why doesn't God, in his justice, repay us as our sins deserve? Why does God seem to be delaying when it comes to his retributive justice? It's because God wants everyone to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus. And so for now, God continues to let this wicked world go on, postponing the day of judgment, so that more and more can be brought to faith in Jesus Christ. And so for a little while longer, God is tolerating injustice, including our own, in order to grant people time to turn and repent from their unjust ways and to live eternally. Yet God has not sat silently by as the world has suffered injustice ever since Cain murdered Abel and seemed to get away with it. But God has done something remarkable, something amazing, something wonderful. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer the greatest injustice that the world has ever witnessed. Isaiah says in our text that Christ was taken away and robbed of his life by oppression and without justice. And so here's the paradox. God is the God who, through the injustices shown to Christ that he endured at the hands of men, justifies you and me who are the ungodly. Through the world's injustice to God on the cross, the Lord has brought about divine justice. For in the scheme of things, the only way that God could remain just and punish sin was to punish his Son in our place, to oppress him without justice. As God says when he speaks through Isaiah the prophet, he, Christ, was stricken for the transgressions of my people. He was cut off from the land of the living, though he had done no violence, that is, nothing deserving of death. And so God brought about divine justice through the many injustices done to Jesus, including the death of Jesus. As Isaiah says in our text, he, Christ, was taken away by oppression and without justice. As Jesus knelt in pious prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, a riotous mob came forward with swords and clubs to arrest him. How different than Jesus. Jesus had never forced or coerced anyone to follow him. But now the rabble bound and forced our Lord to come with him. Now Jesus could have blown them away with a word, but instead he told Peter, "Put away your sword," and Jesus surrendered to their oppression and injustice without a struggle, that he might fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. The injustice that the world showed Jesus, our Lord, by nailing him to the cross, would become the very means by which God would reconcile his justice, and beyond that, would demonstrate his mercy to all who believe in Jesus. Our Lord Jesus was deprived of justice. He was denied the due process of law. He was hurried through all kinds of makeshift trials before the high priest, the Jewish council, Pilate, and King Herod, and then back to Pilate. According to ancient Jewish laws, these trials were unjust for many reasons. One was that Jesus was tried at night, a legal no-no. He was tried before the Passover, and in a private home instead of a court of law. And the verdict was reached prematurely and with the aid of false witnesses. Think about it. Pilate and Herod together acquitted Jesus a total of 5 times, and yet those 5 acquittals had no effect on the outcome of the trial. Isaiah says about Jesus in today's text, he was taken away by oppression and without any justice. And who would have considered that he would have descendants? At the time of Jesus' death, when he was cut off from the land of the living, as Isaiah says it, no one imagined that Jesus would have a future, and certainly no one imagined that he would have future followers. Christ's enemies thought he would be dead and quickly forgotten, and the disciples of his would disband. And they reasoned, beyond that, who would want to risk suffering the same kind of injustice as Jesus suffered? But we know the story didn't end there. Jesus rose from the dead, and his disciples rejoiced as the word of God spread, and many joined the church. Pentecost came, and on a single day, 3,000 new believers were baptized into Christ and received the Holy Spirit. And the communion of those who were baptized into his death and resurrection has grown exponentially ever since then. Today, Christ has millions of descendants, those who are begotten by water and the Spirit, those who are born again by the Word and sacraments. In fact, only God knows the full number of Christ's descendants who are related to him by faith. And yet Isaiah says, at the time, who would have believed it? Who could have predicted that this would happen? So now when we Christians confront injustice in our world, do not despair. For God has done something about the injustice. The Lord, in fact, has brought about perfect justice when he condemned our sins in Jesus, so that there is now no condemnation for those of you who believe in Jesus. We take refuge in the equity and the equality of God's justice that would condemn the innocent Christ for our sins, so that we might be justified and declared righteous, that we might be his descendants and the heirs of eternal life. What gracious justice has occurred on the cross, that God's mercy found a way to bring about God's holy justice in Jesus without condemning you and me. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.